The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
She's real. She's relatable. And she's relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Floyd Palmer. She will be discussing religious as well as secular issues with various guests from all walks of life. It's going to be an exciting and informative time. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Top of the morning to you. And we certainly hope that you are feeling well on this beautiful day. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I have an exciting show for you and a great guest who's a good friend. This happening right now is a miracle all by itself. But you're going to get some great information about what you don't want to talk about, your finances, particularly right now when it's time to buy and shop. So I need you to stay tuned, get your hot cup of coffee, and listen intently. And we're going to get started right after a word from our sponsor.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Alleny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
Our children are facing educational challenges that are being hidden by the dual crisis of the coronavirus and the senseless violence. Many mothers are tired of feeling helpless and are asking, what can I do? Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Floyd Palmer, founder of the Community Healing Project for All, and I'm here to bring hope and resources. By displaying our healing posters, you can send a clear message of caring for all our children. And best of all, it is absolutely free. Would you call or text 833-722-4748 with your contact information and learn about our other free resources that will help your children learn, open lines of communication on your block, and let us help by letting the healing begin.
Introduce my guest today, who's going to talk to us, as I said, about wealth building, credit, and of course, how to make sure to have some finances after you do all of the shopping. But more importantly, one who will be able to help you get your legacy going forward and not fall into the same tracks and tricks that most of us have. What am I talking about? Well, I have with me today the finance expert, the one who, according to the song we just heard, Overcomer, is an overcomer. And that is none other than my friend, Mr. Lyndon Wettis. I'm so grateful you're here. So why don't you tell our audience, who is Lyndon Wettis and how did you get involved in the world of finance?
Awesome. Again, thank you for having me on here. It's a great pleasure. So who is Linda and what is? So a lot of folks may see me on social media. I have had the opportunity to speak to a lot of folks, thousands of people worldwide. I've had the opportunity to travel the world. And a lot of folks may see that on social media. But what a lot of people may not know about me is that I grew up very poor. There were times when I went to bed several nights without a meal. Mm-hmm. I was born in Jamaica. I went to school barefooted. But when I graduated from college here in the United States, I had bad credit and I was never taught financial literacy. And I love what I do, what I did, built a six-figure career. But it took my daughter being sick to realize that I was financially well and I was time broke. And because of that, I made the transition into building a platform, a community, businesses that centers around educating and elevating families.
Well, I guess I might as well get right to it. Most of us lie about our finances. If we're around a certain kind of people, we would protrude that we're in the group by keeping up with, quote unquote, the Joneses. Then there's the other group of us who are maybe too embarrassed to say that we don't really manage them well. Then there's some of us that really overmanage it so much that we got such a tight fist, we wouldn't give a penny of help. I want to be able to have during this discussion with you today the ways that we can really treat finances as important as we do our health, as we do with our future and our jobs, but also more importantly, how to be able to sustain it without becoming stressed as most of us have over the coming years.
Absolutely. And that is a great question. And you're absolutely right about both sides when it comes to finances. And money in general, a lot of us in the, especially in the Black and Brown community, was never taught about the importance of money or finances. And sometimes we have the wrong perception about money. A lot of folks believe that money is an evil thing, and it's mm-hmm. not. It's just a misquote. In fact, the good book says money answers all things. It does say that. It's quite amazing. So, you know, money is one of those things where a lot of people struggle understanding the importance, the significance. But money, it's energy. It's like energy. It flows. And so when it comes to energy, if you think about it, if you don't use it, you're just going to it's going to change into something else. So we got to be a lot more responsible. And especially in this day and age, I know we're coming out of the pandemic and a lot of folks have been struggling, whether it's due to jobs and businesses being shut down or whatever the situation may be. And as we get into the holiday season, a lot of times we go a little bit overboard or way overboard. But I believe based on the time that we're in right now, just looking at the pandemic, this is a time for us to be a lot more conscious, a lot more responsible with what we do. Understand that families value time more than anything else. And so we can show love without having to put ourselves in debt. Just appreciate each other more and more every single day. But at the same time, we have to understand what money does. Money, it helps us to create the lifestyle that we want. And sometimes we live a lifestyle where publicly it looks as though things are great, but it's not. And a lot of us in our communities fall victim to that. But it's really more important to be responsible. There are certain things that you may not need. There are certain things that you may not have to do. As I said, I think we should value more time when it comes to family and the holidays, especially now in the pandemic, rather than trying to figure out a way to go overboard and put ourselves in debt to go into the new year. For most people, New Year's resolution never worked anyway. So just really be responsible and setting up, positioning yourself in a good way financially to go into the new year, which I believe is going to create a lot of opportunities for a lot of folks.
When we grew up, and I'm really dating myself, we were happy for an orange and a quarter and a sock that held over the stocking plate. But the structure of being together and really being able to break a meal and taking that quarter, putting it in a PSFS bank book and filling that out. And when it gets filled, we had to take it to the bank because our parents put that little bank book of $5 of quarters into our own account. And so our literacy was not taught for us to save. It was just telling us how not to spend. So could you define or say when literacy about finances, just by that example I gave to you, really should begin?
Absolutely. And you're so right. And we're in a different day and age. It's a different generation. And one thing I always say this, if you believe in generational curse, you got to believe in generational wealth and generational blessing. My daughter is eight, and we have this conversation, the same conversation you and I are having right now. I don't have a conversation with her as though she is eight. I have real conversation with her when it comes to money, when it comes to financial literacy, and when it comes to a certain lifestyle. So she understands the power of credit. She understands that financial literacy is the foundation to financial intelligence and wealth creation. And these may sound like big phrases to some folks, but they're really not. What it really means is that financial literacy is understanding money. Understand that money is a great thing. Understand that money allows you to do a lot of things. It gives you hands and feet that you don't have, where you can go to places, you can make a difference in other people's lives. And when you understand that concept, now the money that you work for, now when you manage that money in such a way where it flows, it comes in and it goes out, but in a smart way, now you get into financial intelligence where you let that money work for you. Because if you got to work for every dollar you have, you will actually work until the day you die. And it sounds crazy, but it's so true. So understanding that concept is important. Financial literacy isn't taught in our educational system. It really isn't. For a lot of us in the Black and Brown community, our parents aren't taught financial literacy. They don't know. And so it is our responsibility, especially those of us who have been exposed and have garnered a certain level of success, to be able to change the status quo. I believe you don't have to be a prophet to predict the future, but if you do the right things now, then the future can be very predictable, especially when it pertains to money. For instance, we tell our daughter, hey, you don't have to get a job. But you know what? It is absolutely okay to create jobs for other people, because now that's how you change the status quo. That's how you start having a conversation about creating generational wealth, about building legacies, and again, starting from when they're young. So it becomes a lifestyle, and it's not just about a particular type or level of education, but it's so ingrained and it becomes second nature in our families. And we got to do that right now.
The level of literacy, I find out, most people think that you're literate based upon how much money you have. Is that true or is that false?
It is absolutely false. This is important. It is not based on your bank account. It's not based on your last name. It's not based on your zip code. It's not based on the job that you have. It is based on the fact that it's something that is extremely important. And when you have financial literacy, you actually do things different. You make better choices. For instance, credit is a foundation, a fundamental part of financial literacy. And we aren't taught about it. Let's take me for an example. I may be the person, the individual that is doing well right now and may have done some things and been some places, but I went to three colleges and was never taught about financial literacy and credit. I graduated with a 524 credit score. I was shocked when I realized that I needed credit to get an apartment. I couldn't get it. I was shocked when I realized I needed credit to get a car and I couldn't get it. All of these things, I had to rely on my wife's credit. And it was just one of those things that was very devastating because we aren't taught, but we got to change that. We're in a position where we can change that. So now we have to have that conversation with our kids and with their kids, because that's how we create legacies. That's how we create generational wealth. That's how we change the status quo, by being intentional. And we have to start investing more in assets and not liabilities, you know?
Wow.
So instead of buying all these gifts and the latest gadgets and all these things for our kids, maybe we start a life insurance policy for them and invest that, because a lot of folks don't want to talk about things like that. That's a part of financial literacy. What's guaranteed is that we're all going to die.
So
isn't that a matter of planning for it? It's a matter of just putting the right things in place that's going to position our kids and their kids and their kids to be in a better place.
That is one thing that I will admit, that my parents were not maybe financial literate from their generation, but they did believe in the Gerber baby plan, and they did believe in getting them. And so as a grandma of seven, all seven of my grandchildren have a life insurance policy, a whole life insurance policy that I have bought for them, that I pay on each month to make sure that that's going to be there for them. And that's going to start their life of how they're going to be able to utilize that wealth at the appropriate time. So would you mind talking to us a little bit about the do's and don'ts with credit? What's the best way to establish it? And then what is the best way to maintain it?
Absolutely. You're so right about that. And credit is so important. You see, credit is not just three digits. Credit is actually a lifestyle. Credit is about decisions and responsibility. There's hardly anything that you can do without credit nowadays. If you want an apartment, you got to have credit. If you need insurance, you have to have credit. You're going to get a mortgage, you need credit. There are certain jobs and promotions where you need credit. Work with a lot of folks in the military and then the police force. There are certain level of clearances that is based on your credit score.
Wow.
So that's how important it is. Nowadays, it's like, even if you're dating, you need to have good credit. It is so important. So here's the thing. As we know, in a lot of our black and brown communities, a lot of times kids, by the time they get to 18, they realize they have bad credit. Why? Because their parents took out stuff in their names and their credit got messed up. So
yeah.
It's one of those things. They get grandfathered into a lifestyle where they're trying to catch up. So here's the thing. If you have no credit, you can build credit. If you have bad credit, you can still get your credit in a place where it needs to be. Right now, if you have a 740, it will basically give you the best in terms of what you can access in terms of interest rates with your credit. Now, there are five piece parts to credit, which is important. When you understand those five pieces, then it makes everything more feasible. Number one, 35% is based on your payment history. Always pay your bills on time, because one late payment could lower your credit score up to 100 points. Number two is usage. How much of your credit card limit are you using? Rule of thumb, never go above 30%. Below 10% is best. And then 15% is based on the example that you just gave about that young lady. 15% is based on the length of your history. So you never want to close an old account, especially if it is in good standing, because you're going to lose that entire history, which is not good for your credit score at all. Then 10% is based on new inquiries. Don't apply for things unless it's absolutely necessary, because every time you get a hard inquiry, that's an average of 2 to 3 to 5 points being deducted from your credit score. And then the last piece is diversification. Diversity is important in your credit as well. You don't just want to have credit cards, because that's revolving credit, which in fact impact 90% of your score. but you also want to have installments like a car note, mortgage, student loan. That's an those are examples of installments. So together, this is 100% of your credit score. When you understand these pieces, it's a life changer. It's really a game changer because now you have the foundation knowledge that allows you to be more responsible about the decisions that you make and how you respect credit and how you responsibly use your money and also approach credit as well. Because if you don't have the right score, I assure you, the interest rates are just through the roof. What you pay in interest rate alone, you could have invested in getting some properties and build wealth because the interest rates are extremely high. So when you understand those pieces, it makes a big difference. Now, for a lot of folks, coming into 2021 right now, coming into 2021 and now going into 2022, we have over 100 million plus people in America with less than a 600 credit score. Here's the interesting thing. With that being said, it's fixable. It's going to take three things. Number one, decision. Indecision, of course, more people success than anything else. So number one is the decision. Number two, time. Time is important. It's not overnight. It's overnights to get to where you need to be. And number three, it's going to take some financial investment as well. Those three things are important, getting your credit to where it needs to be. For a lot of folks in America, 32%, in fact, 32% of Americans are renters. The average rent is higher than the average mortgage. So as a renter, you're paying someone else's mortgage and it's not showing up on your credit report. So now the second most powerful way to build your credit is actually getting your rental history reported to the credit bureaus. So there's a way to do that. And in 15 to 45 days, that could increase someone's credit score up to 100 points. So it's quite powerful.
Wow. I love those examples that you're sharing. And of course, I love the one where you say time. So these get rich, grit, fabulous 700 score opportunities that are facing for people who are in desperate situation. How accurate are they? Can they actually occur? Is it truth or is it lie?
You know, it can. It absolutely can. But a lot of folks who want to get their credit to where it needs to be have unrealistic expectation. And I have this conversation with thousands of my clients. A lot of times they reach out, they want to get their credit fixed in a week, 2 weeks, but they have been living with bad credit for 20 years. You know, it's just unrealistic. So This is what I would say. If you have a solid plan between credit restoration, cleaning up the old stuff, and credit building, which is adding the new things, and you actually follow through on that game plan, you in 3 to 6 months, you can be in a very different space. You can be living an entirely different life. Now, it goes back to the three things that I mentioned that it's going to take. Mm-hmm. One, the decision. You got to be 100% committed. Number two, time, 3 to 6 months. Number three, it's going to take some financial investment. And sometimes to make that financial investment, it just takes some adjustment to your already existing lifestyle. One thing that I know for sure, and you can attest to this, is whatever we value, we find a way to get it done. So if you value your credit, you will absolutely find a way to get it done. I went from a 524 to almost an 850. It is possible. It is absolutely possible to go from wherever you are to a 700 to the 800s. It is possible. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take those three things that I mentioned. That's extremely important. But it doesn't matter where you are. It's all about where you're going. Because a lot of us are living a lifestyle based on our circumstances rather than where we ought to be.
How can I increase and build my wealth? What do I need to do to even begin to set up wealth building that could be part of my legacy, not just for myself, but my children or my grandchildren, particularly those of us who might have worked hard all of our lives, didn't really understand it, But what should we invest in? Is it the stock market? Should we get involved? Now crypto is another big issue. A lot of people are confused about what to do to improve their wealth so that they will have it for many years to come. And let me just take this disclaimer. It can make or break families. I have seen families fall apart, particularly during funerals. Why didn't I get a piece of that? How come they didn't leave me nothing? How come they're the only decider? And I'm talking about this being that people do not speak to each other, almost till death do us part. Money becomes the chief divider of friends and family if it's not handled right. So what are some great wealth building tips that we should start now? What score would we need to do? Or does it depend on a score so that we could probably begin again and not allow that to impact how we live?
Man, that was well said, well put together, a phenomenal question. Why? Because I've seen this, I've experienced this numerous times, especially just being, you know, a part of the church. And, you know, you can attest to the same as you just said. And it's one of those things. So here's what is important. When it comes to wealth, it start with understanding your net worth. A lot of folks knows celebs' net worth, but they don't know their own. And a lot of folks believe that they don't have a net worth, but we all do. So let's break that down first, because that's important. How do you calculate your net worth? There are two pieces to it. You have liabilities and you have assets. So liabilities, or if it's not generating some kind of increase in value over time, then that's a liability. For instance, if you have a car that you're still paying on and obviously depreciates in value because you don't own the car outrightly, in most cases, it's a liability and not an asset. But you can also convert a liability into an asset. Maybe you have that car, now you start renting it out on Toro or one of those platforms that's generating passive income. So now you're turning a liability into an asset. That's just that's one example that actually works. Now, what's an asset? For a lot of folks, they believe that the American dream is owning a house. It's really not. It's a fraction of the American dream. The real American dream is actually the tax codes in the United States. Mm. You get the deductions. They were created for businesses, not employees. That's the real American dream. And when you understand that, it's a game changer. So that's a different conversation, but a very good conversation to have, which we may end up touching on depending on the questions that you have for me this morning. Now, with that being said, assets. Let's say you have a house. You have a house, and so over time, it increases in value. And because it generates equity, now that's an asset. And so when you add up all your liabilities, you add up all your assets, and you subtract the liabilities from the assets, now you have your net worth. So some people are going to have low net worth, or some people are going to have a high net worth, but we all do. And this is something that is important to know and to understand where you are. Now, the other part of creating wealth is, one, we talked about it earlier, life insurance. That is important. I mean, most Americans are uninsurable because of pre-existing condition, but there are also options out there that could allow you to get life insurance without doing a medical exam. For instance, my specific platform actually provides an option for that, and it's actually very reasonable. So that's something to do. The other thing is that is really important when it comes to wealth and thinking about your net worth is OPM, other people's money. Now, for the Black and Brown community specifically, when it comes to OPM, a lot of us weren't born into wealth. We weren't born into money. We born into struggle. We grew up struggling, just food stamps and all the stuff like that, Section 8 and all that. So I understand that. But one of the things when it comes to OPM that you can leverage is your credit. Because once you have credit, it gives you access to other people's money, whether it's in the form of a credit card, or it's in the form of you being able to get a mortgage, or it's in the form of you being able to get a business loan to start a brick and mortar, or to get a grant that has to do with starting a home-based business, a small business. I believe that we're in a time in the world and in America that will create some of the most ridiculous and some of the most outrageous success stories that we have ever seen. You talked about crypto, you talked about the stock market. All these are options, absolutely. And all of these come with risk. Obviously, I'm not an expert in any one of these areas giving advice per se in terms of exactly what folks need to do. But obviously, these are environments that I'm in myself. And so you just got to get the right advice. You got to do some reading, do some research, and you have to take some risk as well. You risk it now so that you can be better later. Never be afraid to take the action now. The action that you're afraid to take now is the same action that's going to produce the lifestyle, produce the result. It's going to produce the quality of life that you envision for yourself, for your kids, and for their kids. So and this is important, because a lot of times it's not that folks don't have a little bit of money to invest. Sometimes they do, but they allow fear and the lack of literacy to prevent them from actually taking action. And so with that being said, understand that when it comes to courage, it is not the absence of fear. It is taking action in spite of fear, because that's the same action that's going to change your life.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Mr. Lyndon Weddes, who's talking to us about wealth building, credit, financial literacy. And on that note about not being afraid, don't touch that dial. I want you to stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
More than a year ago, an invisible and underestimated virus rocked our world, killing 4.55 million people worldwide, including 719,000 in the United States. And the numbers are still rising. Regardless of race, creed, gender, or economic status, we've lost families, friends, neighbors, and colleagues to this unseen killer that rocked us to our core. But yet, we still had hope. Hope that we held on to by our prayers. Now we have three vaccines available to us: Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. In order to make the choices best for you, consider these three things. First, you must trust the science. Secondly, trust the influencer. And thirdly, trust the authorized vaccination site administering the vaccine. And please, continue to wear your mask, continue to social distance yourselves, and practice proper cleaning habits. If you do your part, we all will rise victoriously.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. 71 homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Time I'm having Mr. Lyndon Weddes. There are three questions that have been posed to me that maybe you can say in your summary and responding. Does my business have to be attached to my personal credit? How do I establish a separate business credit so that I can operate independently of my personal life? And last but not least, if I open up a business and it's doing well, how do I also increase the wealth of the business as I would for myself personally?
It's interesting because when you go back in history, once upon a time, you find that 70% of the revenue was businesses and not through employees. And over the years, that have changed. So obviously, the pandemic has done a lot of great things. And that's just the way life is. So there are certain things and certain events that's going to have a negative impact on some folks, and then others are going to use it to their benefit. And that's one of the things that the pandemic has done that really show people that time is important. So a lot of folks being home with their families, and they start home-based businesses. So when it comes to business, it doesn't have to be a brick and mortar. You can have a home-based business. You can have an LLC. You can have a sole proprietor. You can have whether an S-Corp. There's so many options out there. It is very important to have business credit and your personal credit. For a lot of folks, they have no idea what's the difference and like what's business credit. Well, yes, there is. Your company is an entity and you can build the business credit so it's separate from you personally. You're not liable for any operations that's going on with your business, so you separate the two. Now, that's a part of wealth building. For a lot of folks, to build business credit, they may need to leverage their personal credit. So if their personal credit aren't together and where it needs to be, then it becomes a lot more difficult or basically somewhat impossible to be able to establish business credit where you can go to a bank and you can get a loan, you can get a grant, you can get those things. So it's important to do both. Should your personal credit be great? Yes. Should you establish business credit and leverage that as well? Absolutely. Because this goes back to something I mentioned earlier about the American dream being the tax codes. Once you get into the tax part of this and you're filing taxes, that's where you start seeing the big difference. And you realize that the deductions and the write-offs and all these 100 plus tax codes, they were literally designed for business owners. There are two types of people in the world. One, you have consumers, and consumers are W-2 employees, regardless of how much you make. Even if you make $1 million, you're a W-2 employee, you're a consumer. And then you have contributors. Contributors are the ones that create products and services. And so that's where the bulk of the tax codes are leverage, because you're providing a service, you're employing others, and you are building society. You're doing things that the government cannot do. So they compensate you for that purpose. So that's the reason why, again, build your personal credit, build your business credit, but you should have a business. That's how you build legacies. That's how you build wealth. You don't have to have a particular product. There's so many options out there. Online businesses with Uber and Amazon, and they have the home-based business. A lot of folks are very talented, gifted, and they're sitting down on their God-given gifts and talent, and someone out there could have benefited from it, and they do nothing. So this is your time. This is the opportunity for you to take the bull by the horns and start something, build something, do it for your child, do it for you, do it for your legacy. It doesn't matter what it is, just start. Even if you don't know how it's done, just get it done. Do it messy, but at least you started and you give yourself an opportunity to win big, and to change the status quo and build not just a legacy, but generational and transgenerational wealth for your family.
Can you share with us the importance of such an example as that, and what to look out for, particularly with the younger generation who is about get rich quick, doesn't understand the sacrifice that needs to be now that may help us later?
This is a philosophy and a concept that I talk about a lot. And we live in a society that is very microwave mentality driven. If you don't see it happening, then you don't want to be a part of it, or it's not working. And you have to understand that when it comes to creating wealth and building a legacy, what that means is that sometimes you're going to make a decision where you decided to do all the work so your kids will benefit. You decided to do all the work so their kids, which is your grandkids and your great-grandkids, are going to see the benefit, because that's the way you create wealth. That's the way you build wealth. That's the way you build a legacy. And that's the decision that you have to make. And a lot of times what we see just on the internet, on TV, that's not real. That's just an act. Understand that. So when it comes to money, sometimes it comes quickly. It's going to go quickly. 9 out of 10 individuals who win the lottery go broke. Why? Because it happens overnight. And they don't realize that, hey, I have all this money. I should be investing in someone that knows finances so they can teach me about money and how to invest it and how to do this and how to do that. So the work that you put in right now, you may not see the result in your lifetime. And that's okay, because you're building wealth. But at the same time, there are other things that you can do that could turn around for you, that could generate for you. Obviously, real estate is one of those options, whether it's land or buildings. In addition to that, you can invest in the stock market or in that's create dividends or increase what the value of your stock is, and you own a piece of that company. So all of those things are options. But at the same time, even investing in starting a small home-based business is a part of building wealth, because now you're generating what? Residual and passive income. And in generating residual and passive income, those are things that's going to allow you to actually build wealth and really change the lifestyle and the future, not just for your kids, but for their kids. Real estate is powerful. You talk about gentrification, especially with the inner cities. And sometimes, as you said, it's hard when you have never seen money and you're looking at a few $100,000. It does look good and it's very tempting, but you got to be very smart about what you're doing and the decisions that you're making. It may not be the best thing just to jump on it right there and then, because the value is going to increase over time. And you have to be willing to be able to wait. You have to be willing to look at this long term. It's not, you gotta make short-term sacrifices for long-term gains. And when you understand that, it's a game changer and it will change your life.
I guess I'm gonna launch out here because, you know, we are taught about tithes and offerings. We had to have $2 dues that we had to give offerings. And then of course we had our tithe. And so some folks are still not embracing the principle of tithing as a way to also be blessed. So as part of the money conversation, does tithing work in your opinion, based upon your faith? Is it just faith without works is dead? Or are we going to believe that God's just going to bless us as long as we put a couple of dollars in the plate every time we go to church, because we have other needs that are more pressing than giving to God first?
Very good question. And I'm going to speak about this from the perspective as to whether or not this has to do with an individual that believes in tithing or is a part of the church and grew up as a Christian, or regardless of what their belief is and the philosophy is, money is energy. Money flows. So when you keep it, you ain't going to get any more. That's just the reality when it comes to money. Money flows.
Flows fifth. That's right.
It's energy. So if you keep it all, you ain't going to get any more. You gotta release it. And as you get money and you handle money, you got to give back. That's the satisfying thing. If you look at multi-billionaires, you will see them having – nonprofits where they're giving back to the community and they're reinvesting into people, because that's the satisfying thing. It's very fulfilling. So yes, absolutely. I'm a part of the church and tithing does work. We teach our 8-year-old daughter to tithe. It's important because you give back and it goes so much farther. As you give, you get. You got to stretch yourself. You see, people that plan, for instance, for emergencies have the most emergencies. If they have these massive emergency funds, they're going to have all these massive emergencies they got to use these emergency funds on. But if you have a mindset and a mentality where you're giving, I assure you, as you give, you will receive. The good book says, as a man thinks, so is he. So who do you think you are? Who are you? Do you think you're someone that blesses others and you be blessed in return? Absolutely. As I said, money is energy. If he ain't going out, it's not going to come back in. So yes, it does. Don't just keep it all, because what you have is all you're going to have, and it's going to go down and he ain't going to come back. Allow it to circulate. Allow it to go out there and bless others, whether it's through the church or just giving to some kind of soup kitchen or blessing some kids with some backpacks or some nonprofits, whatever it is.
Yes.
You got to give back. Absolutely. I believe in tithing. It does work. But beyond that, give. Don't hold on to it. If you're tight with it, money's going to be tight with you too.
For those of us that are listening today, what is a great book that we could really begin to read to improve our understanding and then help us to make those wise decisions that you've talked about?
So here's the interesting thing about this. You know, the book that I read to give me this foundation is the good book. It is the Bible.
The Bible.
But with saying that, reading all these other great books, I realize that the philosophies in these great books from these great men and women, those foundations are coming from the good book as well.
Wow.
When I read it, I realize that it's tied back to the good book. But a lot of us, what end up happening, you see, familiarity is something. You see, when you're too familiar with something, it loses its value. It loses its essence. And because we're so familiar with the good book, a lot of us, we read it and it sounds good, but we lose the meaning. We didn't catch the revelation because we're so used to it. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a great book. Think and Grow Rich is another book that I would highly recommend. Think and Grow Rich is just a phenomenal book to really gives you a different perspective as to what is it to really go out there or to make the decision to build a lifestyle for yourself. What does it mean to never quit? What does it mean to think big? What does it mean to think outside the box? What does it mean to do whatever it takes to build the lifestyle that you want? What does it mean? What does it mean to really stretch yourself, believing in yourself, to have a vision? And what does it mean to do everything in your power to make sure that with this one life that you are given, you're making the very best of it? Mm-hmm. Understand that the most successful people in the world have failed more than anybody else.
Yeah.
If you can count the number of times you have failed, you ain't doing anything. You got to fail your way forward. You got to fail your way to the top. You got to fail, because when you fail, you have learned new ways to do things and ways not to get it done. So just keep going. But Think and Grow Rich is a book that I highly recommend, in addition to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the good book for sure.
Well, it has been so, so delightful to have you on this. And I'm hoping that all of those that are listening will be able to take this heart-to-heart chat I mean, let's talk about money. How important is it? How can you use it not only to bless your life, but to bless others? And then how not to fall into the same old generational tricks that we've been doing for some time. Because I believe that those before us only knew what to do. But when you know better and you learn better, you do better. What is your favorite quote that you would say that you live by?
I'm going to leave this one because of the conversation that we have been having over the past several minutes. And this just really revealed to me several months back. Every decision that you make will either be a liability or an asset to generations to come.
Wow.
And when you understand that, end of quote, actually, when you understand that, you'll start making more intentional decisions and you start becoming more responsible, but you also start thinking outside the box. Why? Because your comfort zone and the end zone is never in the same zip code.
Wow.
In order to get in the end zone, it's going to take work. It's going to take fight. You're going to have to battle. People are going to step on you. People are going to punch you. People are going to kick you. But you got to be willing to get inside there on all fours. You got to be willing to get inside there with a busted mouth. You got to be willing to get in the end zone in spite of. Give yourself the permission to win. That is extremely, extremely important. Yeah, so I'm very active on social media because I want to be in a space where I can reach folks. It's never just about money for me. It's about changing lives. And just based on my upbringing and where I'm coming from, knowing that if I had a platform where I can tap into, it would have made a big difference. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. If you type Lyndon Wettis, you'll find me on the internet, any one of these social media platforms. If my number is out there as well, 786-505-0270 or 786-789-0015. Both of those numbers can take a call or text messages, but I am reachable. And the goal here is to empower. So we have a scholarship program for high school seniors and college freshmen. The application is open right now into January. So again, let me repeat that. If you have a high school senior or a college freshman, you don't need to be associated with my company or a client of mine in any way. High school senior, college freshman can apply for this scholarship anywhere from $5,000 to $30,000 in amount. For this scholarship, all you have to do, go to yflfoundation.org. yflfoundation.org. The application is actually very simple. So there goes a great gift to give to a friend or a family member or your child who is a high school senior, college freshman. yflfoundation.org.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to certainly spread the news, beginning with some of the young people in my congregation and other family members, to share for them to be able to probably be blessed, particularly when they need that. It has been my delight to be with you today. And for all of you that are listening, I need you to really just get a cup of coffee, pray over it, and then say, Lord, help me to make wiser decisions that are going to be the prudent thing. And if I don't understand, help me to get some common sense, because doing what I've been doing isn't working. And when you keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, it's called insanity. And Lord knows we don't need any more insane folks than in this insane world we are right now. For those of you that have been listening, this is Bishop Mary. As the Word of God says, prosper and be in good health. So be safe, be well. And until next time, may God bless you, is my prayer.
because I'm black.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.